and all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we believe that all things are possible because you're here. Lord, we ask that you would keep us, Lord, in your bosom. Keep us close to your side, O God, as the days grow to the end and as we see the world is falling apart, literally falling apart, as the nations are crumbling, and as this new world government, which we know is being propagated by the Catholic Church, is moving forward as fast as it can. Keep us, O God, in the cleft of the rock. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, from the spoken word is the original seed, Brother Branham said in paragraph 71. Now, the parable is this, that the seed is the Word of God. What is the seed life? It's the Word of God. Therefore, for life, you can't come through a creed, you can't come through a denomination. You got to come back to the Word. Now, the seed of life, all right, His Word is His seed, and His Spirit is the water. Now, right back to John 3 and 14, there you get it again, you see? The Spirit is the water. Now, look, John 3 and 14, we understand what it means if you want to read it. As Moses lifted up the brass serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. See? Now, if Moses lifted up the brass serpent for the same cause that Christ was lifted up, now, what is it? Moses lifted up the brass serpent so that the people that was perishing might have water for life. And look, Jesus, oh God, Jesus is the Word of God. Now, we're going to hammer that down this afternoon. See, we'll prove it. Jesus is the Word of God, and He was bursted open, that life, the life that's inside the seed, that this life, which is Spirit, water flowing over, the Spirit over the seed of God, will bring forth the life of the seed. And to bring forth something else, there is some other kind of seed than that's there. Amen. Do you understand it? If the Spirit of God comes forth to water the seed, if it's the seed it's watering, it'll produce the life of the seed. That's clear. Or is that clear? Produce the life of the seed, for that's what it's given for. I believe the Bible is the Word, the whole truth, and Jesus is the Word made manifest. He and His Word is one and the same. What was He? Now look, He was the seed. Now, I've got to hold something back in order to get it here this evening. You see, it's hard. He was that seed that Eve should have produced. Do you get it? He was the seed that Eve was to produce, but she hybrided it by disbelieving God's Word. So He was that seed, and the only way that life could be in the reproduction of life, life had to come through that seed. And that seed had to die in order to spread out the life. Can't you see it? That's why the water was given to water the seed. I love that statement. He says, and that seed had to die in order to spread out the life. In other words, that the life that was in Him might come into us. Now, I'd like to take these thoughts Brother Branham gave us here, one thought at a time from Scripture. Number one, he said, the seed is the Word. And we find in Luke 8, verse 11, now the parable is this, that the seed is the Word of God. We can also find in Matthew 13, beginning at verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not. So there's your key, is understanding. And understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy will receive it, or receives it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but endureth yet for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, it chokes the word. And he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So you're not going to produce the fruit unless you understand. That's what he's saying. He also said the word of God is a seed. And in 1 Peter 1 and 23, we also read, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we find that the Word of God is a seed. Not just any seed. but it's God's seed. Now let's look a little further into this thought that the Word of God is a seed. You know, I used to think that a seed by definition is a carrier of life. Because in my mind, I thought that the outer derm and the mesoderm are not the life, but they're just protectors of the life. But the outer and inner dermis must die off in order for the life in the seed to come forth into manifestation. And that is true. But the husk is not the seed. It is the husk. It has to die to release the life that's within it. The life is the seed. Brother Branham used the term, instead of seed many times, he used the term the grain. He said, the grain is not the life, but in the grain carries the life. Now from rising of the sun, Brother Branham says, the Bible said, as many as believe, see, were baptized. There's a pool here full of water waiting for any candidate who's ready to die to themselves. Now you might be buried in many times in the name of the Lord Jesus, but until that seed is life, see, it won't quicken it. No, baptism of water is like the dew that fell from heaven. It can't fall upon the seed, but there's no life there. But there's no life there, then it can't live. But if that real baptism of water is a death to yourself, and you're ready to die out to everything that you've ever been taught by creeds and denominations, which is contrary to the Word, and you walk as a son or daughter of God, and you mean it in your heart, watch that baptism of water will do to you this morning. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your wrongs, your sins, and you shall receive the sheaf, the wave offering. You shall receive the dynamics, the Holy Ghost, for the promise is to you and to all them, to all generations it'll be. Now, this is the reason why so many who claim to be born again are not born again. And they live just any old kind of filthy lives. They may have been baptized in water, but they never died to themselves. And if you're not willing to die to your own ideas, God will never bring forth His own life into your vessel. You see, the vessel has got to die to itself, then it's got to be sanctified. You've got to go through that process, or God will never put His Holy Spirit in an unclean vessel. From the man that can turn on the light, Brother Branham said, God separates light from darkness, and He separates death from life. And He does it by His Word. His Word is what always brings us forth. Now, the seed was already upon the earth. I believe God had planted the seed, and just as long as the sun could get to that seed, it began to grow. And that's the reason it only taken days to bring forth these things, because the seed was already in the earth. All it needed was light. And that's the way God has today. His seed is already here, His Word. The only thing it needs is light on it. And He is that light, for He is the Word. The Word and the light is the same thing. The life in there is the light of the Word, see? Is the life. The germ of life lays within the grain, and the life is what brings forth the life out of the grain. That's the reason that Christ in the Word makes the Word do what it's supposed to do. Just like the life in the grain of the wheat or whatever it is makes the wheat do what it's supposed to do because it's the life that's in it. Now notice Brother Branham said the seed was already in the earth. I believe God had planted that seed. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11 we read, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Well, where's the grass going to spring forth from? Unless the seeds were already there. It has to have a seed. He already brought forth the water. In verse, I believe, around somewhere around 6. So, He already brought forth the light in verse 3. And now there has to be a seed to bring forth from. And He says, and the herb yielding seed. Again, notice, seed. And the fruit tree yielding fruit. What is fruit? It's a seed. It's a seed of the tree. After His kind, whose seed, present tense, is in itself. Not will be. Is already done. Upon the earth. It's already there upon the earth. And it was, past tense, it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and the herb yielding seed after His kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in, past tense, in itself, after his kind. And God saw that was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. So we see here that the seed that was to bring forth was already in the earth in spirit form before it could bring forth in a material form. Now, I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do this morning. I took the notes out. I had 7 pages of notes. And maybe we'll get into it a little bit more in detail. But I actually took it out because I had 13 pages of notes here, and or actually 15 pages, and I end up with about 8. but let me just read from Genesis 1. I want you to have a better understanding of the creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. Brother Bram said it could have been a million, billion years. He talks about how when the sun began to blast forth its nuclear energies, he said, piece of it came off and that became the earth. Piece of it came off, that became the other planets. And he said the earth, notice the earth was without form. It has no form. Now, if you look up the Hebrew word there, it means it was emptiness. There was nothing there. And it was void. The word means a vacuum. Nothingness. In fact, that's what the word means, nothingness. So when God began to create the earth was nothingness. There wasn't anything there. Then what was it? It was in spirit form, in the mind of God. It was still in his thinking. You see? And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the word darkness means not ubiquitousness, but obscurity. The actual Hebrew word means obscurity. Obscure, what does it mean? There's no light. Can't see nothing. There's nothing there. It was all just complete darkness. That's what was upon the face of the deep, just darkness. And then the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. What are the waters? What is water? When you break it down to its simplest form, it's elements. What is it? H2O, what is that? Two parts, what? One part? All right, oxygen. What is the sun? Where does the light come from? You have the basic same elements. You have to have the hydrogen, you have to have the oxygen in order to burn. You see, plus there's some other elements, I imagine, that are in there. But God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. God began to divide and bring those molecules, bring those atoms, just hydrogen atoms, oxygen atoms, and now we begin to divide. Until you have two parts and one part coming together. Now you got this little atom beginning to move. It's water. And God began to divide now this water from that's just everywhere. And he began to separate it. And you have water below, you have water above. You see. You know, I think it was back in the early 1980s, and they polled a Baptist seminary. And they asked how many believe that God understands nuclear physics, and over 40% of them said that God did not understand nuclear physics. What are they learning in those schools? How to say their amens? They don't believe God's sovereign. They don't teach the old-fashioned gospel. They teach them how to make a crowd, how to whip them up, how to empty their pockets, how to create more for their organization. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, and already upon the earth. How to get there? The spoken word is the original seed, not the hybrid. The spoken word, Brother Brown said, anything that's real and genuine is a spoken word of God. Well, if God placed all seeds in the earth, and we are seeds of God, we were here in the earth when God fashioned and created the earth. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said then, and he goes on, creates the sun and moon and stars. Now, so God said, Let the earth bring forth grass. So I asked the question, where was the grass? How did it come forward? What were the seeds? They were already there. Already there. Notice in Genesis 2 and verse 1. So we see here that the seed that was to bring forth was already in the earth in spirit form before it could ever bring forth into material form. It had to have the water. Had to have light. Genesis 2 and 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations, the history of birth or generation of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it came into material form, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not yet a man to till it, the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground, and the Lord God formed man in the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree. Notice, every tree came forth out of the ground, so the seeds had to already be there, for God had already planted those seeds according to Genesis 1 and verse 11, and Genesis 2 and verse 5. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, notice, not planted, but it was there. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. How'd they get there if they weren't planted? In the book of Job, God says to Satan, Where dost thou come from? He says, I've been walking to and fro in the earth. Yeah, he came down, walked around, went to the garden. Notice he does not say that these two trees were planted, nor did he say that they were good for food. He said they were also in the garden. So how did they get there? If they were not planted, they had to come on their own. From the message, Why Cry, Speak, Brother Branham said, Now then, see that he was born with his great gift and quality within him. Then it only taken something to flash across that, to bring that thing to life. See, the seed of God is actually placed in us from the foundations of the world. And when that light first strikes that seed, it brings it to life. But the light first has to come upon the seed. Like I've taught many times of the little woman at the well, her in that condition. Though she be an ill-famed person, though her life was degraded, and she was in that condition because that tradition had never touched her. But when the light first struck her, quickly she recognized it, because there was something there to respond to it. When the deep calls to the deep, there must be a deep somewhere to respond to that call. Now, when Brother Branham refers to the term seed, he is not speaking of something that's a carrier of life, but he's speaking of the very life itself. Sometimes he uses the term grain when he refers to what we call the seed. But when he speaks of seed, he's speaking of life. from things that are to be, Brother Bram said, then back there in Luther's age, accepted Luther, that life come through. But it went down and denominated out. The first thing you know, it just become a denomination whose end is to be burned. See, the stalk dries up. It was just a carrier. Now think about it. This is the plant that the seed brought forth. But in that part of the plant, it was just a carrier. Some of them still try to say stay in that old carrier stalk, not knowing nothing about God, they're dead. They say, look, we're a leaf. We was a Lutheran, that's right, but look where it's at now, see? You see, Methodists, and we are Pentecostals, but look at Pentecost, how cold and formal it's getting. How that everybody's walking away, see? What is it? It was a carrier of the real seed. See, all these others are carriers, but went denominational. If you say I'm Pentecost, that don't mean one more to God than if you said that you're Roman Catholic or Jew. Or whatever you might be. You've got to be born. That life that comes through that carrier there, don't stay in the stalk, don't stay in the seed. Go right out to the perfect part. Notice how he's saying, in essence, get your eyes then off the vessel. And get them on the seed life itself. The vessel is but a vessel and is not the seed life. It's only a carrier of the seed life. From the rapture, Brother Branham said, the life that come up through Luther was what made Wesley. The life that came out of Wesley is what made Pentecost. The life that comes out of Pentecost is what makes the wheat. But they are a carrier. See? The real life goes through there. The message goes through, but it's heading up, on up, into the wheat. That's the reason the wheat come up and brings the whole thing in the rapture up here at the top. The bride itself comes out of each age, but the denominational stock dries up. It just dries up and it dies. Again, he's saying, get your eyes off the vessel and onto the life in the vessel, because that is the real life. From the masterpiece, he said, the wheat, after the tassel, after Wesley, puts forth the husk, which is the foremost like the grain of anything else. The husk is more like the grain, is coming more like the grain all the time, the one that went into the ground. And when it comes forth, the stalk, it's got life in it, but it sure isn't the grain. Comes forth the tassel, the pollen, it still isn't the grain. And then it comes forth as the husk, and it's just in the shape of the wheat, just exactly like the grain of wheat, but yet it isn't the wheat. Just exactly the same shape perfectly. The Pentecostal comes out just like the wheat would. Each one comes out from the other, coming out from the other, but they're only a carrier. They go to denomination. And that's what Pentecost did, went to denomination. And what did Pentecost do? When it come out just like the grain, it went right back, like Revelation 17, to one of the sister denominations. That's exactly what Jesus said. When you harvest the wheat, the big old combine comes through, takes the whole plant. But then in the side of the combine, there's a little sifter, shaker, that knocks a little grain of wheat off of the stem, off of the... de-shucks it. And his grain is put into his garner. But the shuck, the shaft, is meant for the burning. Just cannon fodder. From seed is not air with the shuck, Brother Bram said, just like Paul said here, did not the seed of the bondswoman persecute the seed of the free woman? And so does the seed of the denomination persecute the genuine grain? It's always got to be that way. They're not to be heirs together. They're not associated together. They're absolutely two different promises, two different times, two different peoples altogether. One's the bride and one's the church. No comparison at all with them. But now notice, one's the bride and one is the church, and there's no comparison. So get your eyes off the church. It's a carrier. Get your eyes on the God life that's supposed to be in the vessels. One's a bride, the other's a church. No comparison at all with them. But still, they are not the seed that's promised to come. Neither was Sarah. Neither was Hagar. Neither was Mary was the seed. Mary was not the seed. She was a carrier of the seed. But she had nurtured, brought forth out of her womb, just like the shuck brought forth its womb, the real seed. But the shuck is not the seed. It's closer to the seed. It's hugged up around the seed. Way back up in the stalk, the life is scattered all through the grain, all through the stalk. But when it comes to the pollen, it's gathered down closer. But when it comes to the shuck, it's right down there like the seed and forms it almost like the seed. Jesus told us that it would be so close that it would deceive the very elected if possible. But when the seed comes forth from there and the shuck, the life leaves the shuck. And the shuck is a carrier. And that's just exactly what our denominations has been, a carrier, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. And now it's time for the seed to come forth. I believe what he's saying here is that our eyes should be on the life that is coming forth, not into a group, not into a movement, but the genuine God life that is ordained to come forth in a bride. That is what our eyes should be on. The life that is coming forth in the very image of the original seed of Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And the life of the Son of God is to come again in the 11th hour people. So get your eyes off the movement. Get your eyes off the carriers of the life. And get them on the life itself. The Word of God made alive in human beings, and don't focus on the vessels. Remember years ago, I do, how Brother Vail, I was talking to him, and he said, Brian, get your eyes off the vessel and get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel. You see, I had asked him, I said, Brother Vail, could we say that God was in Christ and Christ was in Jesus? And he said, Brian, you want to go crazy? He said, get your eyes off the vessel and get your eyes on what God himself is doing. He said, the pillar of fire was called Christ. The burning bush was called Christ. The rock that followed the children in the wilderness was called Christ. Not Jesus. Was called Christ. But it wasn't God. It was just a vessel that was showing the presence of God at that time where God was. And so the people, they always focus on the vessel. And they fail to recognize the God life itself. Because let's face it, the vessel cannot do one thing for you. But it's the life, the Word made flesh, that is what we need in these vessels to live eternally. The vessel of the Son of God could not heal. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do. That doeth the Son likewise. If the vessel of the Son of God cannot do anything for you, other than the fact that that vessel did die, then get your eyes off the vessel, because it doesn't matter that he died. What matters is that he rose again. And that's not the vessel. That's the God life in the vessel. You see, the Bible says, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, what does it profit me? From seed shall not be air with the shuck. Brother Brown said, notice, see, hear how close the church, the seed now, gets to look like the seed itself. Now you notice when the seed goes into the ground, it's the original seed. When it comes forth, it brings forth a life. But what does the life do out of the seed of wheat? It doesn't produce the same stalk of wheat right then, or the same grain of wheat. It's the life of the wheat, but it's in a carrier stage. And that was the first Reformation, when Luther came forth out of darkness and of the chaos. It had to die. I want you to catch what he's saying here. The stalk is not the seed life. It is a carrier of the seed life, but does not even manifest the seed life. The tassel is not in the image of the original seed life either. So the stalk and the tassel and even the husk is not the image of the seed life, but are simply carriers of the life. helping it along to its final destination. And the final destination of the life is the image of the original seed. From seed is not heir with a shuck. Paragraph 47, Brother Bram said, now notice now, she was not the seed. Mary was not, just a shuck, tassel, stalk. Carriers of part of the word, not all the word. Luther was justification, Wesley's sanctification. Pentecost had the restoration of the gifts, but when the word come, now they could produce that, that justification will save man. You believe that? Sure. It's a carrier of the word. The same as I believe the stalk is a part of the wheat. Sure, sure it is. But it's a carrier. It ain't the life. Then along comes sanctification. How many believes in sanctification? You believe the Bible? You believe the Bible? You have to. Sure. So still, that's not, it's a little more like, well, that's two more words. But then come the Pentecost, the restoration of the gifts, speaking in tongues. They call it the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. There they call that initial evidence, which brought forth the what? The shuck. But they denominated, but when you come to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things, then the shuck pulls away from it. But the real, genuine bride, church, will bring forth the entire Word of God in its fullness in the midst. For He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the elect will be so identical to the original seed that it will say, I and my Father are one, because the life of my Father dwelleth in me. Can we say that this morning? I and my Father are one because it's His life that's living in me. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet, it's not I that's living, but it's Christ that's living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I live by the faith, not my faith, but the faith of the Son of God who died and gave His life for me. So the elect will be so identical to the original seed that she can say, I and my Father are one because the life of my Father dwelleth in me. The elect sons and daughters will be so much in the pattern of the firstborn son that the Father will have to receive them in adoption, which is a change of the body, just like He did His firstborn son. From the message harvest time, Brother Bram said, now, there is a nature and the Word of God. He is that bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, closing now before prayer. Notice here, here comes the thing that I want to say. Now, that shuck has to pull away from the wheat. That's in God's providence. How many can say amen to that? The shuck has to pull away from the wheat because it's maturing now. It's up. Now, if that shuck wasn't there, well, it was a supporter. It was a carrier of the life. Then the life out of there went right on out into the wheat. And again, from things that are to be, he said, the three stages of the vine coming up. The first is a little blade. Luther come up from the Reformation. All right, that was a stalk. Watch nature now. God and nature works in continuity because God is in nature. Then the next comes the tassel, the pollen, the Methodist age. Then come the Pentecost. Oh my, just so perfect. See, just like the grain of wheat looks like it, perfect grain of wheat. Open it up, there is no wheat there at all. It's just a shuck, a carrier of it. But that life is working on through it, see. And from why it had to be shepherds, he said, when a blade of grass comes up, what is it? When a blade of wheat comes up, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the earth. What happens when a wheat falls into the earth? The first thing comes up is a little blade. It's not like the grain that went in. Watch nature. It's not like the grain that went in, but it's a carrier of the life of the grain. And from Masterpiece, he said, now notice now, it'll never be. No. At the harvest time, the seed is back to its original condition and must have all the word in order to be the seed. Now, you can't have a half seed and it won't grow. It just won't grow. See, it's got to be the whole seed. It's got to not manifest and say, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I believe in speaking in tongues. That's just part of the seed. Uh-huh. But now there's added to that. Hallelujah. See, the life, not the gifts, the life of the gifts. See what I mean? We're at the end time, brethren. Stalk, tassel, husk is dead and dried now. There's only one thing that has to happen to that. It's got to be gathered in the World Council of Churches for the burning. And from the token, he said, and then, so that there's no mistake, the seed of this life that must be planted in the earth of this body, that is perishable seed, and the life, if it is preserved life in the seed, it perishes with the seed. If it is perverted life in the seed, it perishes with the seed. But He put eternal life into it and identified it as His own. But in the resurrection, He'll raise it up again. Nothing will be lost. Do you see what I mean? There it is. It cannot perish now. The life lays over it. It's a token lays over that little body, lays over that soul, that person. There's a token over there. The Holy Spirit, that it belongs to God, is His. When I see the token, I'll pass over you. It's a positive token. And from Spoken Word is the Original Seed, paragraph 112, he says, now wait a minute. I can't pass this by. See, Jesus was the seed of Abraham, fleshly speaking. Is that right? A predestinated seed of Abraham. And when the Spirit fell on him, what kind of life did he bring? He brought forth a faith life. What kind of a life? You mean he was going to be a sojourner like Abraham? That's where people get mixed up today. They try to think that a man of God has to do this or follow this and do that. Oh, mercy, no. How was Christ the seed of Abraham? Not so much in his body. Because Isaac, that seed of Isaac, finally fell and died. It backslid in hybrid too. We'll get to it directly, see? But the faith seed of Abraham, that he believes God regardless of what the circumstances was, there you are. I feel like shouting. Look, see? Look, the faith of the seed of Abraham. What was it? Not Abraham's body, but Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith in what? In the Word of God. No matter what come, he called anything contrary to it as though it wasn't even there. So notice, not the vessel of Abraham that died and went into the ground, but the seed of faith that lays in Abraham. The faith life in Abraham. So get your eyes off the vessel that God uses and get your eyes on the life of God in that vessel. Elisha did not want a double portion of Elijah's life. He wanted a double portion of the God life that was in Elijah. I like that. Now, in getting back to our original thought here this morning, we're talking about the seed life that's in the Word. From End Time Seed Sign, Brother Brown said, now, we know that any word sowed has to be watered before it'll bring forth its crop. But if the water falls on the ground, no matter what kind of a seed is in the ground, it'll bring forth of its kind. And when the water, in Genesis 1:11, let every seed bring forth after its kind. And when the water falls, that's Hebrews chapter 6, we find out that the rains comes often to the earth to water it, to dress it, to bring forth the fruit. But the weeds and the briars and things that's in the earth comes forth by the same water. But by their fruit you shall know them. So Christians are known by the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's what dominates a Christian's life, proves what he is. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do we have that? Joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness. We've got to work on that. Patience in the Holy Spirit. Those fruits manifest themselves through Christians. So get your eyes off the vessels. The vessels are imperfect. But get your eyes on the God life that's developing into the image that's inside of each vessel. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We ask, Father, that you would quicken to us and quicken us, O God, by thy word. And bring forth your image, Father. The image that your Son Jesus came forth as the firstborn. Bring forth your image, O God, into us so that we might be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, that we might be readied for the adoption of sons. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And just remember, it's not the vessel. What God is doing inside the vessel. Not the carrier itself, but the God life that's coming forth. It's being nurtured inside of the vessel.
To you, the Lord make his face. shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.
God bless you, and we'll see you Wednesday night.